welcome once again to Giants Post Game Live, everybody, presented to you by Mercedes-Benz right here on MSG. And don't tell Giant fans that Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love, because the Giants failed to make the playoffs just yet. Eagles beat them by the score of 24-19. How you doing, everyone? I'm Russ Salzberg, joined by my colleagues today, David Deal, Roman Oben, and Antrell Roll. And guys, missed opportunity once again.
Yeah, obviously it was a tough task to go to Philadelphia on a short week, but that doesn't excuse the discipline errors, the penalties, the false start at the end of the game by John Jerry when the game is on the line and you know that the snap count is your friend as an offensive lineman, the takeaways and turnovers, yeah. They balance themselves out. So for the Giants to go there and not come away with a victory when everything was right in front of them, obviously, it's disappointing, but there's nobody else to blame but themselves.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants have been playing playoff football the last 2 weeks. And divisional game, you throw out the records, all those things. You beat them earlier in the season in the middle of that six-game winning streak. But we all know this, guys. The inability to start fast on the road will kill you. You're down 14-0. You don't come back. Middle of the game, they started making a push. But penalties, all those things cost him at the end. And there was some hand-checking down line. I know you can speak to that a little bit better. But, again, inability to start fast on the road really killed this team.
Well, I think that's absolutely what we saw today. We saw a Giants team that wasn't crisp. They seemed a little sluggish. Got off to a very, very slow start. And, you know, like you say, going down in Philly, primetime game, you have to bring your A game. You know, you're not solidified in the playoff yet. Still have a long ways to go. We all know, you know, you get into the postseason in November and December.
Odell Beckham, you know, that play at the end, it looked like, I guess, we're not supposed to do coulda, woulda, shouldas, because that doesn't get the job done. But coulda, woulda, shoulda, it looked like it maybe was going to happen right there.
And that's the thing. Obviously, the problem with this was ball overthrown. You see him trying to get the ball to Odell Beckham Jr., breaking free. But the issue has been, throughout this entire game, you saw that Eli wasn't as accurate with his passes because he felt the pressure. He either felt it on the outside, he felt it coming down the bow of the pocket, where he couldn't step in and deliver the football effectively like he normally does. And you know, you hate to use the quote, but opportunities are never lost. Someone will take the one that you miss, and you just hope for this Giants football team and as a Giants fan that somebody does not make up for this opportunity lost by the New York Giants.
How about the Shepherd? There were a lot of calls. How about Shepherd being hooked there? I mean, to me, that looked like an obvious pass interference call.
Well, you know, there's a lot of questionable calls. There were a lot of calls not being made on Giants' behalf. You know, Shepherd was clearly hooked right here by the defender. Clear-cut case of pass interference right here. You know, just missed so many calls throughout the course of the game. Odell Beckham, I felt he could have had a touchdown early in the game if the defender had not held him 15 yards downfield. Those are plays you cannot get back, but it hurts, you know, the Giants' offense.
Yeah, some of these plays, guys, I mean, you're saying there are the officials letting them just play football. I mean, we all live in slow motion when after the fact, but you know, the play before that was an offside. And as an offensive lineman, you know, fourth and one, I mean, you can just close your eyes and wait for that count. And unfortunately, John Jerry really cost him to have to go for it on fourth and five, which led to that would have been a PI, would have been a first down.
Yeah, there's the offsides there. I mean, like, and that was not Eric Flowers, who everybody likes to beat up. No, but really, that was not a young guy. That's a veteran offensive lineman.
He has the most experience out of anybody on that group, and you hate to see this happen to anybody because, let's face it, John Jerry this season has been the Giants' best offensive lineman. You have not heard his name being called regularly outside of this one play.
All right, guys, let me ask you this. You know, excuses are for losers, but having said that, there are a couple of roughing the passer calls, which I thought were totally unfair. Eli Apple got jobbed, and so did Olivier Vernon. Somewhere the refs you have to be able to decipher what is a malicious hit and shouldn't be 15 yards, and then maybe what is a 5-yard penalty. You tell me.
Well, like we said, like the other penalties. You don't want to live in retrospect, in slow motion. We saw Olivier Vernon going towards the quarterback. He probably didn't know the quarterback, the ball was gone or not. He's playing football.
He was tackling him.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you don't want to leave it up to the officials or even the kicking game to win a football game. There's enough to get done between the whistles to get that done. And you look at this play here. Defensive, offensive guys playing hard. You're just trying to go to the ball, but unfortunately, like you said, and you as a defensive player, I'm sure you hate to see this when you're covering those guys downfield.
Well, I think the reason why this penalty was called was the aftermath. You know, how hard he actually slammed him into the ground. I don't think it's the fact that he actually tackled him. I think it's because of how hard he slammed him into the ground. The play with Eli Apple, I don't know what else Eli could have done to get out of the way.
You know, he clearly made the attempt. Well, that's the Vernon play again. But again, you know, there you see Olivier Ovi. He's in the middle of tackling a guy. I mean, you can't stop it and put it
and
in slow motion.
And his hands across, his hands towards the back of him.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And to go along, here's the Eli Apple one. I mean, he did everything in his power to stop. I mean, when you have momentum going forward, you can't just pull off. You see him in slow motion pull his head back, pull his body back, and just try to hit him with his arm. So the fact that one was called, that could be one of the worst calls I think I've seen for a roughing the quarterback this entire season.
Well, you just don't want to you don't want to, when you couldn't get to the quarterback, you don't want to give the other team first downs on penalties. That Eli Apple penalty, the inability for the pocket to collapse and get to Carlton Wentz, he scrambles, gets a first down, and you get the penalty. So it's really a byproduct of not being able to get to the quarterback with your pass rush.
Now, Andre, let me ask you this. After that play, Eli got burned, you know, for the touchdown. Was that a case of he was still out of sorts over being called on the penalty, or he simply just got beat?
Well, in my opinion, you have two guys to blame on that play. You have Adams as well as long with Eli Apple. To me, they looks like they were playing quarters coverage. You know, quarters coverage, there's certain kind of principles that play in effect here. Pretty much it turns into a man coverage once the defenders exceed the 12 to 10-yard range. Right there, the reason why Eli Apple could have and should have made this play is because he had no one in the zone. That was a free range for him to go and play football, still a pass.
All right. Well, obviously, not a good result for the Giants. They can still take care of their own business. However, they still have to wait a week to do so, or possibly they can get in with some help tomorrow. But they certainly did not help themselves tonight. All right, let's take care of some business, folks. Giant fans, remember, you want to make sure you go to Adorama.com/Giants to win yourself a DJI Phantom 4 Pro quadcopter drone. I'm only going to say that once. Adorama, the official electronics retailer of the Giants. A whole lot more coming up. We have Paul Dottino with Victor Cruz. So stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on MSG. All right, welcome once again, folks. Welcome back once again to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz here on MSG. Right now, we go right back to Philadelphia, check in with Paul Dottino and DRC.
All right, DRC, obviously an opportunity. Well, guys, Victor, I saw you in that end zone. All right, DRC, obviously an opportunity squandered to clinch the division. How difficult is it to swallow right now?
Very difficult, man, because, you know, you come out here in a hostile environment, man, and the way we played, man, it was sloppy football. Good enough, man. You can't win games like that. You got to come out here and keep fighting and keep pressing.
The energy was there, though, for sure. You knew the Eagles were going to come to play, and you guys did, too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Definitely, man. They came out, and it seemed like they were just hitting us in the mouth. Once we got settled in, we rattled back, man, and we just got to learn how to finish and keep finishing.
Wentz was rather poised for a rookie, didn't you think?
Yes, sir. Definitely, man. He didn't get rattled. You know, we made our little surge coming back. He stayed in there, man, and played a good game.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Back to you guys.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. DRC, Entrell made a big interception. What'd you see there?
Two games straight. You know, DRC is, quote-unquote, the fastest guy on the field, you know, pretty much at any given point in time. You know, Carson Wentz, he broke the pocket. Very athletic quarterback, but what we're taught in the secondary is called the scramble drill. Keep your eye on your man. And that's a clear-cut case, what you saw right there. You know, he was able to get the feet in, make a miraculous play, and that's DRC once again coming up huge.
And I think that we've seen it throughout this season in spurts, but I think this was the first true game where we saw where the departure of JPP on this defensive side of the ball really hurt the New York Giants defense, because what did you see? You saw them sliding protections, making sure that they got help to block Olivier Vernon because they didn't have a dual threat of picking which side they wanted to go to. Because we've seen in the past when JPP has had those one-on-ones against Lane Johnson, their right tackle, he has won those matchups. And you could see it was either bending it or it was pressing Lane Johnson into the pocket and right into the lap of the quarterback. So this is where we saw where JPP was not out on the field and where it really hurt this defense.
Yep. All right, what do you say we go back to Philadelphia, check in with the man who's had his own troubles in the city of brotherly love, Paul Dottino with Victor Cruz.
Well, guys, Victor, I saw you in that end zone, the very spot where you were hurt a couple of years ago before the game, a real emotional moment for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, man, I mean, obviously this place brings back a lot of memories, both good and bad. But I want to just go in that end zone and kind of take a knee and reflect a little bit. And then we turn the page and play this game and go onward and upward.
I understand you've always been a team player, but personally, you certainly had some production on your end today.
Yeah, man, I got some things going. I got some catches my way and got things going, man. Unfortunately, didn't do enough to get this win today, but it felt good to be a part of the offense and a part of, you know, what we're doing to get things rolling.
And then finally, how difficult is it to fall short? Eli had two opportunities in the final 4 minutes. You're so used to seeing him get it done, and obviously you couldn't clinch today.
Yeah, man, it's rare. Obviously, we're used to being in that position. We're used to 10 putting us in position to score and win games. But unfortunately, we didn't do that today, so it's a little frustrating. But, you know, now we just got to control what we can control.
Victor Cruz, another hurdle cleared, a proud moment for you. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Paul. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, back to you.
All right, Paul and Victor, thank you very much. Roman, your thoughts on Victor. Was this so much a psychological thing coming back to the place where, God forbid, his career could have ended?
Look, we've all had to recover injuries. And I think the emotional aspect of him going into the end zone, praying with Odell Beckham, what that meant emotionally. We all saw have the image in our heads when he was carted off the field, you know, crying and being really upset about, you know, being injured and missing the season, and how hard it's taken for him to get back. Look, 35, 38 catches he's got this season, 500-plus yards. That's more than he's done the last 2 years, obviously, and I think he's a guy that everyone's rooted for. He's been really a dependable, reliable guy on the sidelines this year for this organization. You continue to root for him, and guys, you guys were there 2011. You know what this guy can do in January, so you hope that he has an opportunity to do that, and hopefully it starts with taking care of business next week in Washington, which they weren't able to do today, unfortunately.
He has been making a big catch, it seems, almost every game.
Yeah, 20, 30 yards every week, yeah. making a catch.
Well, the good thing that you love to see is that the targets were split amongst Odell Beckham Jr., Shepard, and Cruz, something that they have lacked consistently these last couple weeks. So now that you see that it was 20 targets at Odell Beckham Jr., 13 to Cruz, and 11 to Shepard. That's what you need on the offensive side of the ball, because you almost saw at times when they were trying to force feed it to Odell Beckham Jr., which you want to get him as many catches as you can possible, it was nullifying the attempts and the assets of having Sterling Shepard and Victor Cruz out on the field.
Yeah, look, Terrell, I'm looking at his feet. I'm looking at him coming out of his breaks, his deceleration. I mean, as a DB, I mean, how have you seen Cruz this year?
I'm a little biased, you know, when it comes to Cruz. You know, he's a guy I've been rooting for for so long now. You know, I feel like he's not the Cruz that we're used to seeing, but I feel like gradually he's becoming that guy. Like you say, he's making tremendous catches and clutch catches each and every game. And, you know, I think come January, he's going to be a guy we must keep our eye on.
Well, let's make sure that the next big one is on January 1st, but we'll get to that a little later. Right now, we got a lot more to take care of, including some business. Folks, guests of our post-game show, they receive a gift certificate to the one and only Ben & Jack's, located on 5th Avenue at 28th Street in Manhattan. We're talking about from the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood anywhere. Ben & Jack's will surpass your expectations of what a steakhouse should be. A lot more coming up. We'll hear from Ben McAdoo, Eli Manning, so stay right where you are. It's Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, right here for you on MSG. All right, right back down to the field. Let's go to Philadelphia. Check in once again with Paul Dottino.
Go. All right, guys, so a lot of key elements as we're trying to get ourselves together here after the Giants fall to the Philadelphia Eagles. And you know, Howard, the start to this game, not good for the Giants. 80-yard touchdown drive on Philly's first possession. Then Jenkins comes up with a pick six, and before you know it, 8 minutes in, it's 14-0 Eagles.
Yeah, and also the offense didn't really get clicking right off the bat. You know, they run a first play, 7-yard run. You think they're going to continue to run the ball. They try two passes, three and out, and that's when they turn around and get the pick six after the 80-yard drive. Then coach, for the first time ever, pulls the team together on the sideline and tries to rally them to get things started. And once he does, they started to pick it up right away.
Yeah, Giants were back in this game within one score at the half. But ultimately, we're talking about the rough edges and flag football, which did the Giants in. They were called for five penalties. All of them turned out to be costly. They lost the turnover battle 3-1 and had seven drops in the game on quarterback Eli Manning.
Well, there was a lot of things going on in the game. Sometimes when you get into a funk and things are going wrong, a lot of things go wrong. You got penalties. You have Eli Apple sliding, trying to stop, not to hit Wentz. They throw the flag a week ago against Cam Newton. If it's no intent, no flag. This week, there's a flag for it. You have Vernon making a big tackle on the quarterback, which looks like it's an intentional grounding. Turns out that it's roughing the passer. The drop balls are just is not excusable. The plays, the penalties, everything starts to roll in each other. The other thing, missed tackles. Something unlike this Giants defense to have missed tackles. So they were struggling a little bit today.
Now, even though it wasn't clean and they have lost this ball game, the Giants obviously still alive, still in very good position to make the playoffs. And I didn't get the sense, Howard, as the guys were coming off of the field, that they were down and sullen about this. Yes, opportunity lost, but I still think they understand they're a double-digit win team and they've still got a lot to go.
They do have a lot to go, and they have a lot of things that could happen this weekend. They got four opportunities to win. The thing is that you don't want to ever, as they say, need help or want someone to help you out. And this weekend, they could get some help to get them into the playoffs, or it'll go all the way to next weekend when they have to play against the Redskins. Either way, the Giants are going to have control of their own destiny.
One thing I would say, the defense had a couple of very impressive series as they kept this Giants ball club in the game. You mentioned to me, hey, Snacks Harrison goes down on that goal line stand. Gimpy knee and all, he got back in there.
He did get back in there after that, but on the goal line stands, you know, Pro Bowl, Landon Collins comes up for the big play, roll tide on that one.
All right. Hey, Howard Cross, thanks for stopping once again. Hey, let's send it down to Coach Ben McAdoo.
All right, we spotted them 14 points. They scored touchdowns. We kicked field goals. We turned it over three times. We didn't handle the ball well enough. They won the penalty battle. We didn't tackle well enough. And give Philly credit. They played winning football today.
Let's open it up.
Ben, I mean, you had a chance to coach a playoff berth. I mean, you had to be disappointed, I would assume. Is it frustrating he came out like that so
far? I didn't coach well enough, and we didn't play well enough in all three phases.
Coach, on that third down penalty on Nolan Carroll, or fourth down penalty on Nolan Carroll, did you get an explanation at all?
On the fourth down penalty?
The pass interference, the supposed missed pass interference on Shepard.
It was not a penalty, right?
What did you say to the team in the locker room after the game, Ben?
I didn't coach well enough, and we didn't play well enough. We have to get healthy and make a push against Washington.
Ben, what do you put into spotting the 14? What do you think was missing early?
We didn't play well enough.
Ben, what about those roughness calls, penalties, an apple, and then burn it?
I thought, I thought OV tackled him in the strike zone. I'm not sure how he cannot drive the quarterback into the ground there. He's trying to tackle him. Again, we'll submit it and get an explanation for it. And I thought Eli was trying to protect the quarterback at the end. He was trying to pull off as the quarterback went down the slide to protect himself. Eli kind of slid into it and tried to protect him, tried to protect the quarterback. So we'll get with the league, get an explanation, and get on the same page.
How's Damon Harrison feeling after getting injured and then going back in?
I haven't had a chance to talk to him. He's in there getting treatment now.
Eli put it up, I think, 63 times, and he was alternately sharp, and then he was off on a number of throws. What did you see from his game?
We turned the ball over too much. Quarterback got hit too much. Not a recipe for success.
I think you tied your season high for rushing yards. Why not run the ball more? It was a one-score game for most of the second half.
Yeah, we mixed the run. We mixed the pass. We were confident in both the run and the pass.
Ben, are you comfortable with Will Tye on that last pass that ended up being intercepted? Could he have been more aggressive there?
Yeah, quarterback couldn't step into the ball and throw it on a rope the way he wanted to throw it on a rope. When the ball's in the air, we'd like our players to go attack the ball.
And I think that Nix ended up with like 60-something passes and 25 runs. Do you feel like you got away from it too early?
No, we felt good with the pass and with the run. We had a couple two-minute drives in there that threw it out of whack.
Wondering if you thought the earlier, I think it was on second down, to Beckham might go for a touchdown.
Say it one more time.
Just wondering if you thought that play was maybe the one that could have been the touchdown.
I think anytime you get the ball in his hands, it has a chance to go for a touchdown.
The fact that your division chances now are gone, but you still have control of your own destiny still in terms of a postseason, does that temper a little bit to know there's still positives out there, something to look forward to, that the overall goal is not lost with this team?
We need to go look at the tape, make the corrections on the film, and get better.
What happened on Eli's first interception, the one that Jenkins ran back?
That we'll take a look at it, and we'll make comments after it.
Anything else?
Thank you.
Eli will be right in.
All right, obviously a disappointed head coach, Ben McAdoo. So guys, let me ask you a question. Eli was not sharp tonight. We all know that. But early on, I know, you know, Roman and I were sitting next to one another. Quite a few passes were being thrown almost into the ground. And we were wondering, because you could see the balls floating with the field goals. Did that have an effect? Do you think it had an effect on his passing game?
I think that it might have had an effect on his passing game, but there were also opportunities that he had where the pocket was clean, where he had the opportunity to step up and drive the football, and he did not make the throw. And also, when he did get the ball to his receivers, there were a lot of drops tonight in tonight's game. So you look at Odell had three, Victor had one, Sterling Shepard had another one. So when you have those opportunities and you're on the road, especially when you're down in a tight game like this, every catch and every rep matter in this football game. So when you go back and you're going to look at this game as a team, you're going to see the missed opportunities. But more than anything, you're going to see the missed momentum that your offense could have taken over in that game up against the Philadelphia Eagles team and defense that had nothing to lose.
All right. Well, we know everybody's going to be saying the right thing, but you guys were the players. So you tell me, how much of an effect are they talking to themselves? Blown opportunity? We haven't won anything yet, that kind of thing.
You have to be a professional. And, you know, we all know that. And obviously you can say short turnaround and all those things, divisional games. But the Eagles had the same short turnaround as well from last week's game. But you talked earlier about the pocket. Pocket was actually cleaner than expected, than it has been on the road. You know, Flowers and those guys up front did an admirable job. Seven drops was a factor. Two field goals when you're down 14-0, that could have been at least one touchdown. That's a four-point differential. And that middle of the third quarter when they were trying to climb up, now you're talking maybe a tie game, middle of the third. So there are a lot of things that you just have to take care of on the road that they didn't take care of. So now, and that's the difference between with these 9 days off, let's learn from these mistakes that we'll see again in January versus now we got to go into Washington and fix this or else we will be done after next week.
All right, well, 24-19, Eagles was your final. Giants can still get into the postseason this weekend, but we'll have to wait and see. Eli Manning coming up. Stay right where you are. It's Giants Post Game Live right here for you on MSG.
Yeah, obviously we wanted to get the win tonight, but we didn't play well enough. Got off to a bad start, bad interception early on, and gave him, you know, spotted him a 14-0 lead. You know, after that we did some good things. You know, moved the ball, made some plays. We got down into scoring position a bunch, and just too many field goals. That's really what it came down to. After that, you know, played pretty good football. Offense we did. But just had to settle for too many field goals, and you know, to them they made some plays down the green zone. We just didn't quite make enough.
Well, you threw career high 63 passes tonight. Simply put, after all that, how are you feeling?
You know, body feels fine. Just disappointed. Disappointed that we, weren't able to pull it off and just make a couple plays away from winning that football game.
You obviously want to throw the ball a lot as a quarterback, but when you have to throw it more than 60 times, is it tough to win with that kind of imbalance?
Well, we got down, trying to fight back into the game. So kind of the fourth quarter, trying to score, kind of got in a 2-minute mode. Again, we were moving the ball doing that. We just got a lot of third downs just didn't get quite enough completions on first and second down. They did a good job defensively. They didn't give us too many big plays. They're kind of making us throw underneath and getting a pretty good pass rush.
Eli, what did you see out of the run game tonight between Rashad and Paul?
I know we ran for over 100 yards, I'm pretty sure. A couple big runs, a couple nice 20, 30-yard runs, seemed like. I thought the run game was strong and ran it pretty well.
What happened in the first interception?
Bad decision, stepping up there. It's one of those deals, trying to get the ball to Ty, felt a little pressure. So try to put it on his back hip. Saw the defender in front, didn't see the defender behind. Really, trying to stop him, and just never saw the defender that was chasing him from behind.
There was one pass that you had to Beckham. I think of the next to last play of the game. Where you
yeah, had, yeah, I had him. I had a shot. I had a little double move, and probably could have tried to throw it early and make sure I had enough room with the end zone and kind of put it on the line. So the safety couldn't recover and just missed him a little bit. So not a route we throw all the time. Kind of a desperation moment right there, but definitely had kind of one of those plays again that we just didn't make it. It was there, and we didn't make it, and could have been a winner.
The next play, did not get.
Just getting hit as I was trying to throw it, and the ball just didn't get out how I wanted it to.
All right, that was Eli Manning. Trell, let me ask you this. If the Giants get a break tomorrow and somebody, this weekend, somebody loses and they get in, do they play full steam ahead in the season finale in Washington, last game of the season, or do they take it back knowing that they're in? When I say take it back, just, don't risk a serious injury. You know what I'm talking about.
Right. Coming off this game, I think they have to go full throttle. Like I say, this was a sloppy game. Wasn't Giants football, not the caliber we're used to seeing. I think they need to go back, refine those tools, and get more balance. And when I say more balance, I think, Rashad Jennings with Perkins, I think that's a great duo right there. Being more consistent, seeing more consistency on the offense side of the ball. Defense, just keep doing what they're doing, keep creating turnovers. We need JPP back. We need Janoris Jenkins back to make this run.
Well, Janoris is coming back. JPP is not coming back, so they can't think about that.
And to go along with that and running the football, what did we see the last 2 weeks out of the New York Giants? The ability to have more runs than passes. That was not the case tonight in the game. And you saw how it directly affected the way that the Giants' game plan had to get faltered back. When you're down 14 yep. points that early, you have to play catch-up. And unfortunately, that was the case in where this Giants offense was. 63 pass attempts, only 25 rushing attempts. And what does that allow do? It allows Jim Schwartz in this defensive package to do different things to disguise their schemes, but it also allows their defensive linemen to play the run on the way to the quarterback because they felt at that point they had the upper hand that they made the New York Giants offense a one-dimensional team.
Yeah, you talk about that running game. I'm encouraged to see every week what Perkins is doing. And he's really separating himself as almost really the number one guy going into January, and a good compliment between he and obviously Rashard Jennings. Time of possession, 34 minutes today. But they threw the ball 63 times. But you're starting to see a recipe that can work in January if you can play complete football game. Turnovers, penalties, you can't do. You can't shoot yourself in the foot. You can't go offsides on fourth and one. As an offensive line, we're always going to be a little critical on that.
Oh, yeah.
But, again, the things that will either help you in January or kill you in January. You've got to make sure you improve that next week.
Well, it's got to start next week for sure. Anyway, we've got a lot more player reaction coming up, so stay right where you are right now. What do you say we take a look at the Giants programming? That will be coming up this week on the MSG Networks. All right, welcome back once again to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz here on MSG. Let's now check in with Paul and Paul, DeTino and Perkins.
Well, once again, another big effort from rookie Paul Perkins. Ran the ball extremely well, had some nice longer runs, and then some very quick runs where you're able to avoid a very difficult Eagles defense. They were tough up front.
Yeah, definitely a really good front four. The guys definitely are physical up front.
Now, the last couple of weeks, you guys had been very balanced run pass. Today, 63 passes for Eli. Now, I know you're a running back. That's not a good balance for anybody. I don't care what position you're playing.
Yeah, I mean, we got down early, so it kind of hindered us from running the ball. So we just got to make sure we stay on track.
What was the most difficult thing to deal with? Was it simply having to climb the mountain time and time again, being down 14-0 early in the game?
Yeah, definitely when you go down to a good team like that, it's going to be hard for any team to come back and you know, make up that deficit.
Now, of course, you know the loss today means the Cowboys have clinched the NFC East, but wild card got wise, you guys are still in outstanding position. How do you keep the spirits up, understanding that it still looks very good for you in spite of this missed opportunity?
We just go in, watch the film, critique ourselves, go in and look forward to playing the Skins.
All right, as we head into the playoffs, another week to go for the regular season, how do you feel about your progress now? Because, hey, playoffs are upon us, and Paul Perkins, you look like you're going to be a big part of this offense.
Yeah, I mean, just however I can help the team. I definitely need to work on some stuff, but, you know, go and watch some film and clean some stuff up.
Paul Perkins, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
All right, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Paul and Paul, thank you very much. And what do you say we take a look at, folks, now some of the scenarios where the Giants can get themselves into the playoffs. And, guys, they make the playoffs with a loss or tie this weekend by the Packers, Lions, or Bucks, or a loss by the Falcons. Now, you kind of figure one of the four has to happen, but then again, you didn't figure a Giants loss tonight. At least I didn't.
And Charlie, you and I have both been on a team in 2010 where we were 10-6 and had to sit there and watch the scoreboard and watch after the game to see if we actually got into the playoffs. And unfortunately, we didn't, because we didn't take care of business ourselves and we had to rely on other teams to lose or win. This is an opportunity where the Giants have one game left to go to Washington next week and win a football game. They can't rely on other teams to, oh, we need this team to win, this team to lose. Yeah. That doesn't work. They need to hit the pedal full steam ahead. They need to go into Washington and win this football game and go into the playoffs in that manner. Even if a team wins or loses and they clinch a playoff berth, this team is not talented enough on its own where they can just take a week off and feel like they're going to continue to have that same momentum going into the postseason. It's just not.
Yeah, even with the 10-5 record now, which is an impressive record, they've never made it easy for themselves after 15 games this entire season.
They wouldn't be the Giants if they did. They wouldn't be the Giants. Well, you know, Washington is not gonna go out easy. I mean, it's not gonna happen. So, what you need to do is let this game go. I always believe in Fido. Forget it. Drive on. That's exactly what they need to do, because they have the talent, they have the guys, they have the caliber. Just go out there and make it happen. Don't leave it in the hands of the refs. Take care of business. Go out there, be proactive instead of be reactive. Go out there, get the win, get into the postseason.
Yeah, sometimes the worst thing that could happen is if you're watching TV and at 4:15 Sunday afternoon, you make the playoffs. And that helps the loss feel better, but that's not the case. You want to go next week, take care of business against Washington, get that momentum going into January. I remember, Rush, you probably remember 98. We played the Eagles, last game of the season.
Oh, yes.
A 4 o'clock game. We needed the Bengals to beat Cincinnati, who were like 2-14 at the time. I mean, the Bengals to beat Tampa. Didn't happen. mean, you knew kickoff that you weren't going to make the playoffs, so you just don't want to get in those kind of scenarios. Obviously, they won't be, but, again, you want to play your best football this time of year.
What did I say? You shouldn't expect help from others if you don't want to help yourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what the Giants need to do. All right, we've got a lot more coming up. We'll be hearing from Odell Beckham Jr. Folks, of course, you're watching Giants Post Game Live, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the New York Giants, right here for you on MSG.
Obviously, that's what you want to do. You want to come in here and take care of business. And we didn't do that tonight, but it's not the end of the season.
Is that your message afterwards?
Yeah. It's not the end of the season. Still got another game.
You seemed pretty upset outside the locker room before you came in.
In terms of how do you temper a game like this one, knowing that you still have control of your own destiny? Does that help knowing that you still have your own destiny in control?
That's the most important thing. You know, it's in our hands. And you know, we had a couple opportunities even at the end to make some plays, and we just didn't come up with it. But hey, it's not the end of the season. We still got another game to play, and you just gotta wait and see what happens this weekend, and then go out next weekend and take care of your business.
Yeah, when you were reaching the ball over, did you think you had it there when they challenged right at the 2-minute warning there? What was your?
I didn't know. I was just trying to do whatever I can to get the first, but it's my job to play. It's not my job to make calls, you know what I mean? So whatever the call was, it was what it is, and you just got to live with it and keep going.
Odell, were you open for a potential game-winning touchdown, I think, on the play right before the final play?
Yeah, I just didn't make the play.
What was overthrown?
All right, obviously a disappointed Odell Beckham Jr. You know, you guys were alluding to before, both of you, that you went through a season, was it 2010, where you ended up 10-6, didn't get into the playoffs. The difference, though, they're going in one way or the other, as Odell just said, destiny is in your own hands. That's got to be a big difference, knowing that whatever happens tomorrow or this week, and I keep saying tomorrow, whatever happens this weekend, we can still get in on our own doing.
That's the biggest thing, is that they control their own destiny. They win this football game against Washington, they're in the playoffs, and they don't have to worry about any other teams winning or losing. Like I said, this weekend is great. Yes, you're going to watch the games. Yes, you're going to scoreboard watch and hope that's the way that you get into the playoffs. But that's not the way, as a football team and as a competitor, you want to get into the playoffs. You want to be the team that says, okay, it's on the line. We're going to take care of business, and we're going to get in on our own terms. And that's where you build that confidence, because you earned the right to get in. You didn't earn the right based upon another team winning or losing. Granted, I know people say, well, it's just about getting in. But getting in on your own terms and building that confidence is a huge momentum builder. And, Charlie, you could talk about it in 2011. We had the chips stacked against us at the end of the year, but the way that we got into the playoffs was what built the confidence for us.
7-7. We had to win at all costs. You know, we had to go play against the Jets, beat the Jets, beat Dallas Cowboys, and once we got in, we were the hot team. You know, we didn't see any other team that was on the platform with us. We didn't see them. Didn't matter if we went to Green Bay. Didn't matter if we had to go play that crazy game out in San Fran. We were going to win at all costs. We were a relentless team, and we were going to find a way to be the big dogs.
Well, I remember what you said, speaking of big dogs, Fido. Forget it.
Drive on. Absolutely right.
All right. What do you say now, though, folks? A little reminder for you. You don't want to forget that this coming Tuesday night on MSG Plus, 10 p.m., it's going to be Giants Life featuring the punter, Brad Wink.
Hi, I'm Brad Wing. I'm with my son, Bentley. We're here at LSU, and I'm going to show you around my old college. When I moved here to go to high school, I quickly fell in love with this place, fell in love with LSU and the football. And as soon as they, you know, offered me and showed interest in me, I couldn't have been happier. It's good to just, you know, come back to kind of where it all started and sharing it with this little guy.
All right, quickly, right back to Philly we go. Paul Dottino with Trevin Wade.
Well, thanks, guys. And, you know, Trevin Wade had one heck of a ball game. You know, this secondary took a couple of lumps again. Guys getting banged up. You yourself, I can see, get a little bit of a black eye. But, well, you played hard. You broke up a bunch of passes in the fourth quarter trying to give this team a chance to win it.
Oh, yeah, you know, we're down Jackrabbit today, and I just wanted to step up and, you know, play my role. And I was feeding off DRC the whole night, and he's somebody I look up to back there in the secondary, and we were just keeping each other amped all game, trying to make sure that we just make the most plays we can.
I've been talking about it all week, about the depth in this secondary. Having the leaders of Jenkins and having a DRC back there, and Collins has become a big-time leader. You guys, you know, the cupboard's not bare when a couple guys get hurt. You guys all bond together pretty darn well.
Right, and I think it plays a big part that, you know, outside of football, that we hang out all the time. We're trying to build chemistry every day, and we just try to have fun and work together as a team and just make sure if somebody goes down, the next person can step right in. And we just try to, you know, be a tight group and just work together as one.
A resilient defensive effort. You got the offense, the ball back twice in the last 4 minutes. Ultimately fell a little bit short, but I know you guys still have to feel proud that you had opportunities to win the game.
Right, you know, we just got to give ourselves a chance, and you know, and if we do that, then you know we can try to get the win. But we got to put this game behind us, watch film, make the corrections, and get ready for Washington.
Trevin Wade, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
All right, guys, let's go back to you.
Well, you heard Trevin Wade say they got to give themselves a chance. Best way to give yourself a chance moving forward next week is to make sure you don't fall behind 14-0 in the first quarter.
Sometimes the things that are hard to bear are some of the sweet memories that you have, because this is a time where this Giants team has hit adversity, but they need to come together as a football team. They need to regroup and get ready to win this game in Washington and move forward into the postseason.
Yeah, I'll just talk offensively. You want touchdowns, not field goals. Run the ball so you can have manageable third downs. Can't turn the ball over. You can't have useless penalties, and you just can't shoot yourself in the foot.
I don't see them having two games of this magnitude. I think they're going to bounce back. I think they're going to come out against the Redskins and be very productive. Defense, keep giving offense more opportunities to do what they do best. And January, here we come.
Well, January, here we come. And remember, that's certainly a good way for the Giants to start the new year, because their next game is indeed January 1, 2017. They will be playing the Redskins in Washington, D.C. Redskins already beat them once. You don't want to see it happen twice. For everybody here,
David Deal.
I'm in good shape with the brain. I was going to say Roman Oben. He's Roman Oben. You're David Deal. You're Antrel Roll. I am Russ Salzberg. Thanks for watching. We will see you next week. You've been watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, your luxury automobile of the New York Giants, right here for you on MSG. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and all good things ahead for you and your entire families.